Okay. And how about Chris Christ and Christian Grenner? Okay. Do you both want to come up together or? Okay. Now, you're the applicants, are you?
Yes, we are the applicants.
All right. Now, 94A would be the terrace house that's adjoining your property, isn't it?
That's correct. We actually had a discussion with both Patricia and Lizanne, who made the submission, and I believe they withdrew their submission. I think they've spoken to the planner staff.
Right, okay. As I understand it, the objection we saw from her was that there's a single skin masonry wall between your ground floor and her ground floor.
That's correct, yeah, which will be upgraded as part of the construction works.
All right, okay. What have you got to say then, apart from that?
In general, we're in agreement with the recommendation for approvals by the planning department, but there's two conditions which we'd like to get amended. Condition 5C, which requires the restoration of the
Oh,
original
thank you.
decorative details on the facade to be retained. There are some older details like old flashings on the facade and other timber panels which aren't required anymore and probably detract from the facade. We'd like to be able to demolish those. That's condition 5C. And condition 30C, which requires for the applicants to reconstruct the whole footpath in front of the premises, while we agree that obviously the footpath has to be
We've
restored.
talked to the engineers about that,
Yeah.
and they say they really only meant the footpath between the old footpath crossing in Council Street
Yep.
and the new one.
Yeah,
They didn't mean right around the whole
but that's
property.
not what the condition states. The condition
I
states
know.
the whole footpath have to be.
Well, we asked the same question.
Okay.
Okay, so
Good
we'll
question.
clarify that condition. What's the next one?
5C, where it requires us to retain all the original details of the facade. If you would have inspected the property, saw that there's some old flashings hanging out the front and some other security screens and other details which aren't necessarily original, which we'd like permission to remove those.
So what
Right.
words do you suggest for 5C then?
Excuse me?
What words do you suggest for 5C?
That
No, he's just reading.
yeah, so that the only the original decorative details have to be retained.
How do we know what's original? The flashings, I imagine, would have flashed an awning. Then I can see the suspension brackets up high up on the wall. So
Yes.
does that mean you're going to put in the awning and the suspension brackets? And
I guess the original or unused,
okay.
which probably will be the key word here. There's some
Right.
other timber panels which have been inserted, I presume, where the awnings came out. We'd like to remove them as well and brick them up.
All right. So, as Ms. Morrell has asked, what is there anything we cross out in C?
Sorry?
It's on the screen.
Condition 5C. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Leave it as is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then 30C, I think the officer is just preparing an amended wording there.
It's not well described as yet.
Yes.
they're acceptable to.
Yeah.
If that's clear enough for you.
Yep, I think so.
So it's just trying to capture that bit from the vehicle crossing to the end of the boundary.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So.
Yes, we've said. Mary Lynn?
Yeah.
You can see the screen. You've said you were happy with both those.
Yes, we are.
Changes.
Yes.
All right. All right. Is the panel happy if we proceed?
Yes.
And read to that one.
Sorry.
Yes, I think that's in it, isn't it? Now, there's two windows, so that needs to be plural. To the large shop front, windows are removed. Because there's one on Council Street as well.
Yes, there are two screens, so they should be plural.
Yes, okay. All right. Well, we've read the officer's report and visited the site. I'll go to the panel's decision. Capital A, the applicant has made written request pursuant to clause 4.6 of the Marrickville Local Environmental Plan 2011. After considering the request and assuming the concurrence of the secretary, the panel is satisfied that compliance with the standard is unnecessary in the circumstances of the case and that there are sufficient environmental grounds to support the variation. The proposed development will be in the public interest because the exceedance is not inconsistent with the objectives of the standard and of the zone in which the development is to be carried out. B, that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of Council as the consent authority, pursuant to section 4.16 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, grant consent to development application number 2019-00121 to demolish part of the premises and carry out ground and first floor alterations and additions to the building and use the ground floor as an office and the first floor as a dwelling at 94 Illawarra Road, subject to the conditions listed in attachment A below, with the subject to the following changes. Namely, amend the following conditions to read. In condition 5C, design changes, the wording shall be updated elevation drawings showing all openings, windows, shopfront windows, doors and decorative elements of the original portion of the building as retained and restored, and clarifying that the existing security screening to the large shop front windows are removed. The plans can indicate unused flashings are able to be removed. And in condition 30, public domain works, amend subsection C to say the existing concrete footpath northwest of the existing vehicle crossing to the western boundary must be reconstructed, and add subsection D to the same condition 30. Any works in the public domain are subject to the Roads Act 1993 approval. Full stop. How does the panel vote?
Approved.
Thank you. That's again a unanimous vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll now proceed to the next item. And, yes, thank you. And that's DA 2019-00186, 631 King Street, Newtown. The proposal is to erect a new raised and covered deck on the rooftop level of the hotel, including new toilets to be used in conjunction with the existing hotel. Now, there's a number of objectors to it. Well, in fact, Virginia Pascal and Georgia Fitzgerald. Are they present? Okay, who would like to come first? Thank you. Have you got the microphone on? Oh, good.
Yeah.
What's your name?
I think I have. I'm Virginia Pascal.
Thank
I'm the
you.
Owner. I bought this unit off the plan about 10 years ago. The objections I have have been addressed to some degree by the applicant, but I'm not satisfied with them. One of the objections I had was acoustic or the noise that would be generated by this sort of facility. So I refer you to roof level floor plan, which is item 9 that I printed off. And it shows the unit I own, which is the one that's closest to King Street, is beyond that open area that they've got on the floor plan. The acoustic wall is only along the northern part of the building, and the eastern part looks to be just a glass, which a single pane of glass is not a satisfactory acoustic barrier. And furthermore, towards the front, it seems to have a grill. It doesn't actually state what it is, only that it is a barrier, which has a doorway in it. And I would say that the noise would then still be able to be heard in the unit itself. Now, because that is identified as a grill with a doorway, invariably I think the doorway can be open, which means people are going to go out onto that open area. In this era where you're not allowed to smoke at a dining venue, they're going to want to go out there. So even if it is kept closed, there will be pressure upon whoever's managing the pub at the time to open that area to allow people to go out there to smoke. And that comes up as a second problem of people smoking very close to the bedrooms of the unit.
Must be.
So there is the noise issue, there is the smoking issue, possibly the food. There's no guarantee that people won't leave food in that area and that late at night it won't be cleaned up adequately. And we do have problems with rats in Newtown. And finally, there's the security issue that I'm concerned about. Because it is an easy access up onto the balcony of the unit, and the doors and the upstairs doors that open onto the balcony are often left open, it's easy for somebody to climb up over the barrier, get into the unit and perpetrate robbery or worse. There is mention in the application of a CCTV cameras being inserted, but nowhere does it say that it's actually for this area, and that looks at the event that's passed, and it doesn't do anything to prevent the event from occurring other than the general caution. So I don't know whether CCTV cameras should be installed, whether that would prevent anything. It certainly, in my opinion, wouldn't prevent people from gaining easy access into the unit. So I think that's the crux of the matters I want to raise.
All right.
Perfect.
Yes, well done. You're the only one to finish on time.
Yes. Can I have an extra brownie point for that?
Very good. Okay, any questions? Can I just ask the door you're talking about? I can see it goes through to the exit stair, the emergency stairs.
Back. On the eastern boundary, there's glass, and then it talks about a barrier, and it seems to have a dotted lines that indicate to me it would be a door. And because the barrier is not well identified, I think it's a grill work. It says it's only to the level of the palisade, the boundary. So I don't even think it's a high grill.
Yes, you're right. Well, when I look at the east elevation, it says new fixed glazing to part of the of that wall, but then there's obviously a low-level balustrade height.
Yeah. It says new security barrier up to the height matching the parapet, but the parapet's fairly low. I don't know how it complies to safety regulations about people falling over the parapet, but that certainly looks like a doorway that's leading out into that area.
Yes.
So I think there is safety for the patrons. I would also question that, but that's not my issue.
Understand that. Okay, thank you.
And the other one is that there doesn't seem to be any air conditioning there. It will get hot under the sun, and people will want to have doors open to allow air flow.
Well, you realise it's not enclosed, it's just a roof.
Well, the front of it isn't enclosed.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, the other three sides are enclosed, and the roof is enclosed. So I think they need to make some provision, and I wouldn't want an air conditioning unit sitting right beneath my bedroom window.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
And just to clarify, you said your unit was towards King Street?
Yes, yes. So if you look at that, all that open area part is my unit. To where it seems, just roughly, because they haven't got it in detail, to where the end of their building is, or perhaps where their fire escape stairs are.
Yes. Do you own the same unit that... I'm not sure if it's the other...
Yes, so that was my tenant.
Yes. We understand.
See, it was this.
Yes.
But I don't know whether it comes to there or there or there.
Right, okay.
I'm not
sure. Balconies, so that's how we can tell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's...
Well, I don't think that's...
Sorry, your tenant let us in and we had a look.
Yes.
But I didn't realise that
it's
was the same unit.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. No other questions? All right. Then we had... I'm sorry, I've lost my list. Georgia Fitzgerald, please. What's happened to my list? Yeah. Oh, hello.
Hello.
Showed us through the unit, didn't you?
I did. I'm the tenant of number 19.
Okay. What would you like to say?
Okay. So thank you, Chairperson and members, for coming and doing a site visit today. I think that it's one of those properties where you really need to be there and see just how close that is to my bed and my bedroom, and that the boundaries really are... there is literally millimetres between myself and the other property, and it's all open air. I think we're at the beginning of the process, so we have an opportunity now to address these issues rather than get further down the track and have more and more complaints made.
Mm-hmm.
I ask that you deny the application due to the closeness of it to my bedroom and my baby's bedroom upstairs, and I also represent and speak for the unit next to me, which you had questions about, which is currently vacant, but they also, previous tenants did have complaints about the development application as well, and also representing the people across the rail corridor in 641 to 643 King Street, who haven't moved in yet because the building's being built, but will face the open part of the proposed rooftop bar.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, all of that needs to be taken into consideration, even though they're not here today. I also think another consideration is that it's setting precedence for this end of, well, for my end of King Street, down the south end of King Street. It's not that loud an area of King Street. It's not, a late night area of King Street. The only other rooftop bar in Newtown is in one of the, well, probably the, where Enmore Road meets King Street. It's basically on the largest intersection in Newtown, metres from the station, and that adjoining property, it adjoins and is parallel with their roof, not, and it's commercial. It's not next to a residential apartment. So I think that whilst the acoustic and all the submissions and the acoustic engineers and everything have compared this to industry levels and commercial levels and saying that it would be suitable for a bar and, suitable for this time at night, it's not comparing it to what you would want to live next to. I mean, it's not... it's residential next to commercial. It's not, and I think that I'm not being unreasonable in that I'm not complaining the fact that I live next to a pub. I'm not saying that, I think that they should, have to stop trading. But I do think that this is an extension, it's a new use of the pub. It's not an extension of their current use because they're only on the ground floor trading and selling alcohol. So I think that it would be a new use and needs to be considered as such.
All right. Yep. Thank you. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you.
No, thank you. I think we need to adjourn briefly, don't we?
No, we have to hear from
the applicant. I don't think we have. I haven't got anybody listed from the applicant. Is the applicant here?
Are we able to ask the questions?
Oh, yes. All right. You didn't register though, did you? All right, we'll come forward. Now, you'll need to identify yourself since we don't have you registered. Put the microphone on.
Thank you for speaking with us.
Now, what's your name?
Elaine Richardson, the applicant, architect, and Ray Riley, owner.
Right. And who's the other fellow?
Ray Riley, the owner.
Riley, okay. Right. And you're the owner, Mr. Riley.
Addressed, yeah.
Okay. Right. Now, who's going to go first? Okay, Ms. Richardson.
So, look, I just wanted to address some of the concerns primarily of the first objector.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a really strict 20-metre fire regulation on the terms of the length of the terrace that we can have on the rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be no people going beyond that into that area that the objector was concerned of in terms of smoking. It's a huge fire risk, and it's just not something that's acceptable, and it's not something that's going to happen. Furthermore, the glass panel that we've got at the end of in terms of acoustics, that was actually requested by the heritage the heritage person at council. They just didn't want that end wall as to be so solid. Mm-hmm. So we talked about making that wall solid. Our acoustic engineer said that a glass wall was suitable and would be an acoustic glass wall. So it's not just a piece of 6mm glass, it's a piece of acoustic glass. And that satisfied the acoustics as well as Heritage's point of view. The wall, the fence that we've then got from there, from the end of that glass wall to the parapet, that's 1.4 metres high. We would be happy to take that high because that's the height of the parapet, but again, that's a heritage issue on whether or not that's acceptable mm-hmm. from council's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want people to go beyond that. There's a certain area that we've designated as that rooftop terrace, and that is the rooftop terrace. We don't want people walking behind walls or mm-hmm. Using a space that isn't manned or doesn't have CCTV.
Okay. Questions?
Yes. There's been now talk of a lift being introduced onto the roof to deal with accessibility.
Yep.
And we don't have a plan showing that, and I believe it has not been assessed by council's heritage people.
No, that's correct.
We have some concerns about where you're placing that lift.
Yep.
And believe that there are other places on the roof where it could be placed that would not be seen from the street. From, I think, your own drawings, it shows that the lift will be seen from the street.
Yep, yes.
On top of a heritage building. And can you guarantee that there will be no noise impact at all for those residents behind that have spoken here today?
So we've had, we've got an acoustic engineer, and we've had, we're enclosed on almost three sides with a fully acoustic roof, where we're looking for the sound to travel out towards Sydney Park. The engineer was happy with what we had, what he had proposed, and he's, we've met all of the acoustic regulations. What we don't want is to upset or upset our neighbours in any way. We want to exist cohesively with our neighbours. We don't want people calling up and complaining. That's not what we're looking for.
And what about the view line towards Sydney Park and the old brickyard chimneys?
So for the people behind,
yes,
the residents,
for the people in these apartments.
So we are substantially lower than the apartments behind us. So their eyesight is won't be affected. Their view line won't be affected by the roof.
We were on the balcony today. Yeah. I was a bit concerned about that. I think standing up you might be right, but I think sitting down probably wouldn't see. Have you thought of it from that point of view?
No, look, we were pleased that most of the view lines were maintained. Mm. Our ceiling height sits from 2.5 to 2.7, and we were mindful of the neighbours. And look, we understand that that's something that's really important to them. But we felt that what we'd proposed was enabled us to use that space as well as enabled them for the majority of the time to see that view.
Right. Well, say, what height is your roof, say, compared to the balustrade of their apartments? Is it at the top rail height, or is it below the top rail height of their balustrade?
So it's just over by a couple hundred mil. It's over there. Oh, actually, so that's no, that's... So I would say it's probably... I'd need to just... Yeah, okay. Right now it's just over their balustrade height, yes.
Is it? Right. Yep. So that's why you'd have to be standing up, wouldn't you, to be able to see the view, I should think. Yes. I'm just looking at your south elevation.
Yep.
You've got a little head and shoulders sticking above your roof height.
Yep.
That's
from the apartment that is presently vacant, is it not?
Yes, that's further down.
Yes, okay.
Because on our number, drawing 9 of 16.
Righto.
That's our...
Okay. Any other questions? And what about Mr. Riley? Do you want to speak, Mr. Riley?
Obviously the roof heights can be dropped.
Yeah.
You know, we can do what we can do. I think there's a solution for everything, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is you say it can be dropped. It can go down lower, can it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we could. We could go to 2.4.
Right, okay.
I think the solution we'll be looking for is a more appropriate place for the lift.
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
I think that would have to find a game area.
And the difficulty is under the planning scheme, a heritage impact study is required for the lift.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a provision of the LEP that we must have that before we could approve it.
Yeah.
So again, all
the advice that we've had on the lift is without disturbing the operations of the business currently and putting us under more financial hardship. It's without losing what we have downstairs. Downstairs is already a very, very small trading space.
Mm-hmm.
The gaming room is the gaming room. Moving that would obviously hurt the business as well.
Yeah.
That would be a solution for the lift, obviously. That way it's hidden away from, you wouldn't see it from the street if that's a concern. It's obviously, with the building next door, they're fully bricked up, aren't they, today? Yeah, it's just a void, basically. Mm-hmm. So that would be a possibility for the lift shaft. But again, the advice that we've had from all consultants and council is that we just can see that it's hard to get a lift in. Not only that, would lose our accommodation rooms upstairs. We just don't see it. Can it be done? Yeah, but how long is how big is your purse, basically?
I think Mrs. Taylor has a question. Did you want the lift plan? Erin? Did you want that?
No. I
have to adjourn. Righto. We're going to adjourn briefly to talk over what you've proposed.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned previously, I can't predict how long it'll be, but usually it's 10 or 15 minutes. So
yeah.
If you'd like to remain. You've got something more to say?
Do you mind if I just bring up one minor thing? We just received... So we had a limited time frame to receive to try and work on the lift and the heritage advice.
Yes.
We did actually receive advice from our heritage consultants, who are Weir and Phillips, that the lift was acceptable, is acceptable. But it came very late in the piece.
Well, so we could read it, but we would still need an expert assessment of it, wouldn't we? But I'm happy to take it and read it. Okay. Okay. Mrs. Taylor's the legal in this panel.
Yep.
So she's saying we shouldn't read it.
Okay.
Are you saying you have a document called a heritage impact statement?
So they've...
Is that what it's called?
It's not. It's called it's an addendum to our original report. So it's not...
Yeah.
Okay. Our problem is that as a panel, we are required not to make our own assessment, but to receive any document you write has to go to the council,
yep.
And it has to be assessed by the appropriate person at the council. And the heritage issue is not as yet resolved with the council, and so it would be unwise legally just to take something at the last minute.
No problem.
Because another step has to occur.
No problem. Yeah. We just didn't receive it in time.
Okay. All right. We'll adjourn briefly.
Thank you. I think so. Last time I was a juror, they just stayed. About the lift shaft, that's where the
I'll just wait for the officers. You ready? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll now resume the meeting in regard to the application at number 631 King Street. And now, Mrs. Fitzgerald said at the end of that meeting as we were adjourning that she didn't know about a lift proposal, and I said we could hear from her when we resume, but I don't think that'll be necessary, Mrs. Fitzgerald, because I can foreshadow that the panel's decision is not favourable to the application at this stage. Although I can say to the applicant that foreshadowing the panel's decision, you do have the option of a section 8.2 review under the Act to the decision of the panel today, and it'll be up to you whether you take that course or some other. I can go now to the panel's considerations and say that the panel disagrees with the findings contained in the assessment report and resolves that the application be refused for the following reasons. The panel requires a lift to make the roof terrace to be accessible. However, the proposed location has not demonstrated that it is acceptable against the relevant heritage provisions. As a result, the access and heritage provisions have not been adequately resolved. The panel notes that the heritage listed item, which is the subject property at 631 King Street, is made an item under Schedule 5 of the Environmental Heritage Marrickville Local Environmental Plan 2011. It is a building in good condition and presents well in the street. The panel is not yet satisfied the heritage impact has been adequately addressed. Any lift provision will need re-notification in accordance with the Council's notification policy. The reasons for refusal are: one, the design has not been resolved as the panel requires a disabled lift to the roof terrace in accordance with Part 2.5 Equity of Access and Mobility in the Marrickville Development Control Plan 2011, and two, the location of the lift currently proposed by the late submission could not be fully assessed because of its impact on the heritage item and there being no heritage impact statement as required under Clause 5.10 of the Heritage Conservation Marrickville Local Environmental Plan 2011. The panel is not convinced that the currently proposed location for the lift is appropriate in heritage terms. further consideration should be given to a more suitable location that is not visible from the public domain, for example, in the northwestern corner of the site. A lift proposal will require amended plans. Thank you. That's the panel's decision on this matter. And we'll now go to the next one. And that's DA 2019-00132, 27 Kintori Street, Dulwich Hill. The proposal is to demolish part of the premises and carry out ground and first floor alterations and additions to the existing building and to use the premises as a childcare facility for 20 children. Now, there's a number of people listed for this one. I've got Victoria Alexander, Sean Carter, Jeff Mead, Ian Warren, Chris Jones, Annette Bowie, and Emily Joseph. Are they all present? Good. Okay. Well, now, who should I hear from first? Usually, we hear from people who object first, and then that gives the applicant the chance to reply. So, Victoria Alexander, are you an objector? Oh, right, okay. Sean Carter? No?
He's the architect.
Are you? Yeah, Jeff Mead?
No. He's the planner.
You're the planner. So they're all for the applicant.
I think it's the bottom two.
So what about Ian Warren?
I'm also with the applicant.
You're with the applicant.
It's the bottom two.
Christian, Annette Bowie, then, is it?
Chris Jones.
And Chris Jones, okay. Yes, and who's the lady with her hand up? All right. And do you wish to speak?
Yes.
Righto. And the panel's happy to hear from an extra one. Yes. Okay. Well, look, Chris Jones, we'll let you go first. You're the next door neighbour when we went to your property, didn't we? Okay. Okay, Mr. Jones.
Okay. Thanks for coming out this morning and visiting the property. Some of the objections that we have are... Firstly, it's an overdevelopment of the land. It states in the development assessment report that the capacity of 17 children have been approved for the site. There are three highlighted areas which should not be considered. In an unencumbered outdoor space per child is seven square metres. Sorry. Then the small courtyard of 4.9 square metres should not be included. Furthermore, in an independent consultant's report, it stipulates that open spaces for childcare centres should not be located between the front alignment of the building and the street. The two front areas should also not be included, in our opinion. If the back area is 93 square metres, as per the plan, then there should be a maximum capacity of 13 children. Our next argument is the parking. In the DAR, it states that the traffic impact assessment report that was resubmitted, and it indicates there's an 82% occupancy rate, or 21 car spaces at peak periods. Now, I've lived in the area for nearly 20 years, and I know that in the afternoons there's not 21 car spaces available in the afternoon. I drive up and down the street looking for them. Also, despite Council's own development engineer not supporting the application based on the non-compliance with the five car space allocation for this size lot, and also based on his own site observations and accompanying videos objecting the application, this has still been ignored. Also, there is no mention of events that occur 6 to 8 times per year from the school. After hours. From 3 to 7:30pm, the street is completely parked out. I'm forced to park some 200 to 300 metres up the road in Margaret Street and Canterbury Road, Canterbury Grove. So when this occurs, I'm just wondering where parents are going to park to pick up their children from the daycare centre. It also states that parents are double parking and parking in driveways, and it's out more out of convenience. But this isn't, I don't think this is a very accurate assumption, and it's dangerous to say that. More double parking will only occur, and now it will happen down on the front of number 27. Next argument is setbacks. The DIR states the proposed first floor addition continues the new addition's ground floor setbacks, being 900 millimetres to the north and 1200 millimetres to the south. Both the consultants' reports that were submitted states that a minimum setback for a two-storey dwelling is 1500 millimetres. I just would like clarification as to how that's been put through. The southern boundary setback clearly doesn't comply.
Have you got much more to say?
Just a little bit more.
What, 1 minute?
1 minute, I'll get it out of the way.
All right, that's it.
Relocation of the existing stormwater pipe. It's in the DIR, it's recommended by Council Development Engineer to relocate and increase the stormwater pipe to the southern boundary free of any non-removable structures. Further to this, it states on page 491, in a comment to the issues flooding, this site is not subject to any flooding affections on Council's flooding maps. It may not show it, but Kintore Street does flood. In very quick downpours, a typical storm you get in summer, the stormwater drains in the front of 29 Kintore Street are unable to drain the water away quickly enough, resulting in a backup. The water flows down through the school. A knock-on effect occurs on Beach Road directly behind our house, producing the same result. Water cascades through the rear of our property. Increasing the size of the stormwater pipe at 27, but doing nothing to the existing pipes under the street down to the Cooks River will only increase the water build-up and take longer for it to drain away. This time last year, we had 2 inches of water through our house. It was covered by insurance, but the $20,000 damage bill to re-sand and polish our floorboards is a testament that Kintore Street does flood, and this issue needs to be further investigation before any construction begins. And we're also, quickly, we will lose, with overshadowing, we will lose afternoon sunlight in our backyard, also our bedroom, where we have international homestay students who live and study. The bedroom window also faces the childcare centre entry, where increased noise levels can be expected. Thanks.
Okay. Any questions? No. Thank you. Thank you. We had the benefit of seeing your property. Thank you. Now, Annette Bowie. All right. And would the lady who wanted to present come forward? What's your name, please?
My name is Shiki Wang. I'm residing with Mr. Jones and Mrs. Bowie on 29 Kintore Street.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm their homestay student.
All right, I see. Okay, go ahead.
So generally, I just have a number of objections and comments to my in relation to a document titled 29 October 2019 IWPP, Agenda Item 10. So generally, I agree with the Council in this document that Part 2.5, 6, 10, 11, 21, 25 do not comply with the relevant policy. But I think this compliance is not acceptable in light of the context. So first of all, I think the Council is not able to provide sufficient justification on this point. For example, the TIAR report submitted by the applicant on 9th August advises that proposal is expected to generate about 7 to 9 cars arriving or leaving the street in the morning and afternoon peaks, based on which the council then concludes that it will not result in any detrimental effect to the existing traffic in street or surrounding street network.
Excuse me, can I just ask you to slow down, because I thought you said 79 cars generation, but
7 to 9 cars.
Slow down a little bit, if you don't mind.
No problem. So 7 to 9 cars arriving or leaving the street in the morning and afternoon peaks, based on which the council then concludes that it will not result in any detrimental impacts to the existing traffic in the street or surrounding street network. But the report, in my understanding, nowhere indicates the current level of traffic flow. I think in the absence of the amount of car entering and leaving the street at the moment, it can hardly be concluded that the addition of the cars will not add any burden because there's no base we can refer to. I think when the existing level of road traffic is high or close to its full capacity, which is the very circumstance Kintore Street is in, the addition will severely aggravate the already intense situation. Also, I think the council has failed to take into account, a number of irrelevant considerations regarding the traffic. The proposed preschool hour from 8:40 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. with a closing time of 3 p.m. I think it's completely subject to the will of the applicant, which is very likely to vary according to the market condition or the parents' demand. It has no binding effect, in my view, and I think it shouldn't be considered by the council as a factor that can possibly mitigate the traffic generation. Also, I think the council didn't consider a substantial argument that we raised in our previous submission that is based on Control 8 of the Part 4.1.6.1 of the MDCP. So basically, it's saying that in certain circumstances, notwithstanding the numerical standards are complied with, the DA can be rejected or must be rejected due to the impact on the street and adjoining dwelling in respect of overshadowing privacy, streetscape, building setbacks, parking and landscape requirements, and visual impacts. I think this is the case here. The development is inconsistent with the existing and desired future character of the surrounding area, and it benefits only one piece of land at a substantial detriment to the adjoining properties. I understand that policy can sometimes be applied flexibly, but I think by allowing a childcare centre to be built right in between two residential properties, it has probably come to an extent of misuse of discretion.
All right.
And yeah, just the last point, I would like to point to where my bedroom is in. On the floor plan of the first floor, from the left to my bedroom has only one window, that is the second window from the left. And then it's facing the fence, but it's after where the proposed wall sits and before where the acoustic fence starts. Mm-hmm. So it's facing the side path, and I think this is, and I stay in my room most of the time.
Yes, we saw where that window was.